This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What a weekend, what a season, BT, for your Red Storm finishing the job over the weekend, winning the Big East Championship tournament.
It was wild, Sal. To me, this is really one of the biggest turnarounds in New York sports. I really mean that. I really feel that. I really believe that. And I think to appreciate where St. John's is right now, you had to have taken stock of where they had, like, what they had been relegated to, and the business of college basketball just passed them by. They had no feel for how to operate within, you know, big budgets and booming conferences and everything that changed from the 80s, when you could be a little bit of a mom and pop operation and still hold the keys to the city and still win and still pump out first round picks. St. John's basically was on the side of the road with a with a blown tire or two, trying to jack the car up, watching everybody zoom by the highway as they made money, as they built new buildings, as they put new banners into the ceiling. And as I've said many times, I didn't really think that this could happen again. I never gave up hope because, you know, if you abandon it, just the way I'm wired to abandon hope with anything, just not who I am. But like inside it really felt dead. And if it didn't quite feel dead, I certainly felt and saw that it was reduced to just a pile of dust, a once proud franchise that completely lost its way and was shoved out of the way, really. Just amazing.
Yeah, I guess I never thought I would see it either because I didn't live through the 80s the way that you did. I wasn't into it back then, but also, you know, the Big East was different. So there's a lot of circumstance that led us to where we are. The Big East has gotten softer. It's not a knock on St. John's, it's just reality. Mm-hmm. Like, the conference is not what it once was. Patino coming here, like, nobody, I don't think, could have seen that being the case. You just happen to get into a spot where a coach of that caliber, maybe the greatest coach of all time, was available because of the circumstances that he had prior. He comes here, and it's been the perfect storm, pun intended. And for me, BT, just to spin it forward here as we get excited about the tournament, I was locked in a Selection Sunday, and we could talk about that and get into some of the details, finding out where, of course, they reveal that one last, like finding out who they play, where they play, and all that stuff. But for me, I don't think, like obviously, if you know, getting beat by a 15 seemed to be bad. But even if they lost in the first round, and Coach Pitino said it with us, he said in other spots, hey, we could go to the Final Four, we could lose in the first round based on matchups, this or that. I wouldn't expect that, but even if they did, I think this season was so magical and so perfect in putting them on the map that even if they lost in the first round, I'm okay with this season overall for St. John's.
You're okay with it. St. John's fans wouldn't be okay with it. And I know you're supporting the team. I'm talking about, you know, the fans. No, you got to win. You got to win here. And I don't mean you have to go to...
Okay, but then why not just say, well, they got to get to the Final Four?
Well, because...
Like, fans are not going to be happy until they win the championship. I'm talking about their season. Like, obviously, anybody would be upset if they lost. I'm saying the season, I would deem it a rounding success. Whatever you want to say, how you want to describe it. It would be a great success. Even if they lost in the first round to me.
Yeah, no, I got you. I think it would be completely, it would suck the life out of the season, but it wouldn't change the future. And I think those are two very different things. St. John's has to beat Omaha, and they will. And then you see who's waiting. Is it Kansas or is it Calipari? I mean, that's going to get a little spicier here. But, you know, St. John's, to me, you've got to punctuate this season with a win. You know, at least one. You absolutely have to win, because the thing that's really, you know, how many times have you heard, the last time St. John's won?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been points of reference this year. Last time they started this, you know, last time they were ranked inside the top 15, the top 10, you know, win the Big East Championship, so on and so forth, that it's been an amazing ride. But for this group that's been so connected and so dominant for so long, you cannot lose the first game.
I guess
you can't.
I guess my point is, well, they won the Big East regular season. They won the Big East tournament. They got to the tournament. They're a two seed. What's the difference if they lost in the first round or the second round? Like, I mean, okay, winning a game you're supposed to win, two seed versus 15. It happens. Upsets happen all the time. It wouldn't take away from the tremendous accomplishment in year two. And by the way, it doesn't mean in year three they're going to have the same success in the regular season. Maybe next year they win the Big East regular season but lose in the tournament,
mm-hmm.
but go further in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So there are a lot of layers to this thing. Nothing they could do would hurt, to me, the impact that they had, the success that they had this season.
Yeah, I'd love to know Rick's honest answer about that. I don't know. I mean, Rick has been... The other thing, too, that you got this year from St. John's, which, as the weeks, certainly the months have gone on here, you know, and we all, if you're old enough, you know what the team means to the city. We all know that. We all know the names. We've said it a million times. But I think what really has added to the joy of this season has been the transparency. And, you know, the fact that St. John's is guided by an A-lister, you know what I mean? So that's why the future is so bright regardless of what happens the first game. Now, if I pull off the headsets on Thursday night, it's going to be a late tip too with Mink, and they lose to Omaha, it's going to, it's certainly in the moment, it's going to feel like the it was less than.
Right.
Yeah, it would be less than at that point. But I think that... I think that in like overall, I think that St. John's right now is so set up to be so good for so long. Don't subvert that by losing early. I know what you mean. 2-15, things happen. Doesn't necessarily change the future. I get it, and I hear it from your perspective. For the St. John's fan that has been foaming at the mouth for this, and let me take a step back. Saturday night, I remember, God, it was, I guess it was 87, the year that Mark Jackson won the rookie of the year at the Knicks. There was a VHS tape that came out, the history of the Knicks, right, that I used to watch over and over and over in the basement. And Marv Albert at one point says, you know, sometimes when I'm doing a big game, because the Knicks had been down for a while, obviously, and then they were just kind of coming up here in 87, I would take the headset off, and this is at the arena, and just kind of listen to the crowd. And based on how it met my ear, I can tell if the Knicks were real or if they weren't. And the crazy thing about doing these games is because, you know, you have headsets on and, you know, you're kind of locked in your own world. I took the headsets off, right, just a little bit, just to soak it in sound. I think I've done hundreds of games there. It felt different. And when it sounds that different, you cannot lose on Thursday. You can't do it. You got to win.
But why not? Look at the expectations.
You got to win.
Yeah, but look at the what if they don't?
Well, if they don't, the season's over.
Okay, but
it leaves St. John's fans with a different feeling.
Did anybody, I don't remember any St. John fans, they could hope. I don't remember St. John fans calling saying St. John's was going to win the Big East, they were going to win the Big East tournament the way that they did. They dominated the Big East this year. They dominated in the Big East tournament. Those are things, okay, so the expectation changes. I get it. I mean, you just saw that happen with the Mets a year ago. It happens a lot. So the expectations change in season, and I know right now it's unfathomable to think if they lost. And by the way, I don't think they're going to lose in the first round, but if they did, the head coach himself said it. So forget whether you're a St. John's fan, whether you're a broadcaster, the head coach himself said, we could go to the Final Four, we could lose in the first round. I'm just saying that I think they've accomplished so much already, putting themselves on the map, not just in this town, which we know how big of a story they've become over the last several weeks, and obviously putting themselves on the map this season, but also nationally in number two, and looking to take that step forward as a program next year, number three. They can't shoot. I mean, they can't shoot the three. They can't shoot free throws. They have a lot of weaknesses that have been overlooked or have been overcome because of their intensity, because of their defense, which is just suffocating defense. You mentioned it many times. I saw it up close and in person on Friday night. We've watched this team. You could see it. So they have strengths, but I'm not going to sit here and say, like, if you're going to come on the air on Friday, if they lose Thursday night in that first round and be like, oh, what a disaster. I'm not saying you.
No, not a disaster. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
But not a disaster. But is that what the St. John's fan is going to be?
I don't know. I think that it would. And again, even if I think that that feeling would dissipate fast because they know how bright the future is. But you got to bag a win. You got to get at least one. Keep it going.
And yeah, and just for me, just to reiterate, like getting to the Final Four would be great. Getting the Elite Eight, okay, those things. That would be, you could feel how impactful that would be. I don't feel a difference if they won the first game, which everybody expects them to win anyway, and then lost to, say, Coach Cal in round two. To me, that would be just as disappointing as they lost in the first round. But either way, I mean, look at what St. John's has accomplished this year. It has been tremendous. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh is in Queens. What's up, Josh?
Good morning, boys. Happy Monday. Sal, as always, you have zero pulse of St. John's basketball. They have to win this week. They have to win the first round. They have to win.
I'm not gonna sit here and tolerate the disrespect like that. You can't say that I have no pulse as a sports fan. I've worked in New York. I've lived in New York my entire life. I understand the New York sports fan better than anybody. That's number one. And it's not about the St. John's fan. I'm telling you what I think. So, obviously, St. John's fans are going to be disappointed if they lose the first round. Obviously. Like, that goes without saying. You should know that. What I'm saying is if they do, it, to me, still doesn't hurt the greatness of their season, regular season or even in tournament.
Yeah, and it's, I'm starting to look at Omaha, right? I don't even know anything about them. And it's going to be interesting. They got a couple of kids who could shoot. They got a lot of seniors, whatever. But, dude, Their defense, I've never seen defense like this. Right. And I know that they've got weaknesses. Trust me, I know as well as anybody. I personally think that the weaknesses are a little oversold. I think when you look at the bottom line stats, I think that they've certainly gotten better as the year's gone on. But whatever, we'll find out. You know, either make them or you don't, and you either move right on or you don't. But like what they do so well, that's why I think that they've got a chance to, and they get a chance to go far. I mean, I definitely think they can go far. When they switch, like a lot of teams like to switch, right? When you're playing defense, switch, you know, go through a screen, whatever, switch. But St. John's has so many guys that are 6'7", 6'8", and Zuby does this. Zuby can hang with a point guard. Zuby can drop back and hang with a five. And they've got, like, that's the specialness of their defense. It's not just that they play hard and they're tough. Like, if you want to know exact, I don't take for granted that everybody who's kind of jumping in a little late, which I get, knows why St. John's is special. And I can tell you about Hart and the other things you can't quantify. That's the quantifiable thing that they do great. They switch as well as anybody. And when you switch and you got long bodies on shooters, you're not comfortable. Yeah. It's insane.
And they, to me, have answered so many questions. We talk about the regular season, the game in stores against UConn. And I was like, wow, man, they won again in some of the performances. Friday night, to me, more impressive even than Saturday. I wasn't there. I had some stuff going on that I couldn't go. We could get into that later. But I know you're obviously there for all of them. But Friday night, down big early. And you're thinking, okay, here we go again. They'll get back in the second half. It didn't even take them to the second half to get back against Marquette with that suffocating defense. And really, to me, that was the turning point. Like, once they did that against a tough Marquette team, we thought going in, like, hey, this could be a good challenge. I mean, their defense is second to none. So you could talk about the better defenses in the league. We're going to find out how St. John's defense prevails in the tournament, how it matches up. But for me, either way, BT, think about where the program was coming in, the expectations coming in. I know they change in season to where it is right now. I just don't think anything could take away from the success of the season. The fact that we're even talking about St. John's and how relevant they are and looking forward to next year, like this season set the path moving forward regardless of the result in the NCAA
tournament. Yeah, listen, it definitely set a different course of a future here, but you still have to beat who you're supposed to beat. And we'll see what happens, and I think that they'll win. But you know what it is? St. John's fans have been, they've been lusting for, you know, just being mixed in with the big boys, okay? And if you get to that second game, and it's either Kansas, who's had kind of an odd season, or Arkansas with Calipari, and, you know, whatever happened, and I can still make the case, like, I still think they're supposed to win that, but I won't do that now. I want to take one at a time. You want to be, it's so hard to verbalize it. You want to be on the floor with with people that you've watched forever. You know, and like, and when I say watch forever, I mean on the sidelines watching, like, all, like, St. John's fans over the years, they don't stop watching the NCAA tournament. They don't stop watching the Big East tournament. They just watch UConn and other teams cut down nets. And it's very frustrating. So, I think I know the St. John's fan base pretty well. They would be devastated with a loss. Yeah, they'd wake up the next day and say, we're still good. We got Rick. They ain't losing.
Jordan is calling from Baldwin. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, Jordan.
BT, Sal, what's going on? Good to talk to you again, BT.
What's
How are you
up,
doing,
buddy?
Sal?
What's up, Jordan?
So, Love the show, guys. Sal, love your energy. I just have to say, you know, I appreciate your view from the outside New York sports fan because I love talking about the Johnnies on the radio. I just have to say, and I know you talked about the guy, like, your objective. I want to talk about from my point of view from St. John's. I'm not cool with just winning the Big East championship in the regular season. I want to make sure that we're here and we set a mark. Like BT said, we still got Rick and we're good. But I want it all. And I know it's greedy and I know that's just coming from a sports fan, but you know, I feel like our weaknesses, our strengths definitely outplay our weaknesses. Like, we have the second-best defense in this league. Our the way we gel, Zuby, he's a force in the middle. So I just feel like, you know, we can go as far as we can. Omaha's, we have to win that game. Kansas, you know, Zuby potential revenge game. He hasn't played a lot there. But, you know, let's see what we can do. And the Calipari and Patino storyline, nothing can get better than this. This is March. Let's go, Johnnies. Let's get a run here. And BT, fire me up. And Sal, I'd love to have you on board. I want you as a diehard fan. I know you're a Mets fan. We could deal with that. But let's go, well, Johnnies. Come on,
hey,
baby.
You got it, Jordan. We appreciate the energy. Let me just be clear. This to me, has, it's the same way I would approach any other team. Like, it's never about, for me, I can't speak for BT or anybody else. It's not from a perspective of a fan. I am not a fan here. Like, yeah, of course, we're all sports fans. But when I give you my opinion, it has nothing to do with fandom. I'm rooting for St. John's, maybe not as much as BT or anybody else because you guys may be invested in it. But, of course, I root for St. John's. I'm just talking about sports. That's it. To me, the conversation is about, will this season be a disappointment if they lose? By the way, forget even the first round. You want to say in the second round? Because is that going to be good? Are St. John fans going to be happy with losing in the second round? The answer is no, they're not. Like, they're not going to be happy with that. So, okay, well, you just heard Jordan right there say they want it all. So it has nothing to do with from a fan's point of view. I just respect the opinion of Jordan saying he would not be happy if they lost the first round of the season. That's fine. That's the conversation.
Can you give him a worse time, too? Why not put him on 11? Why not put him on after Jimmy Fallon? I mean, 9:45?
I mean, I don't, what's, why, what's the, it's just too late for you?
I mean, how many kids are watching that? I know that that's not necessarily right. The networks, and that's something that, by the way, applies to the World Series over the years, the NBA Finals, I get it, they don't care about kids, but one of the things to me that's been so satisfying is that there's a new, well, there's been two generations, because based on the time frame, not one, there's been two generations of St. John's fans, or potential diehard St. John's fans that have been completely glossed over of anything remotely connecting itself to the past here, and you know, I saw so many kids at the Garden over the weekend and so many kids at the Garden this year. It's been a reignition of passion, the flame. And, you know, it's just, by the way, 9:45 does not mean 9:45 because there's a game before
right,
it. And
so
then obviously it's going
to
be 10:10, whatever. I already told my wife, kids ain't going to school Friday. They're not going to school. Like, you could take them at noon. They are staying up and they are sleeping in and they're watching that game. But like, even forget about that, Sal. Forget about me and my family. I don't, if I ran a network, right, and you've got the New York market, why would you not put this on at 7:30 at night?
Yeah, I mean,
to maximize the ratings.
Seem a little late for me. I mean, I'm not doing the game, so it doesn't really impact me either way. I just, you know, get into these tournament games. They're on all sorts of times, but yeah, I mean, I guess that's
weird.
Yeah. All right, BT and Sal on the Fair. We'll continue with the conversation with the Johnny.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's 888-808-1019.
It is a championship Saturday in New York City. And this is a victory for St. John's. So St. John's won the outright regular season title. They're the Big East tournament winner. You know who your Big East champions are? St. John's defeats Creighton 82-66 in the title game.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mink, from Lapchek and Mully, Walter Berry, Mark Jackson, Malik Sealy, Ron, and of course the great Lou Carter II, all the diehards. Hey, paint the town red, baby. The Johnnies are back, and the ride is just getting going. What a night.
Well, what a season it's been, BT. How much fun did you have? I know we were texting a little bit Friday night and then Saturday. How much fun was it for you during this Big East tournament?
I was just making sure. I'm like, don't step on Mink's call. Don't be that guy. Oh, you know, like when somebody's trying to make a final call. Let Mink do his thing. Have fun. And I laid out an extra beat because you know I was rare to jump in there. I'm like, let me make sure he's done. It was awesome, man. I mean, for me, maybe the most enjoyable part of the night, because you see where we broadcast, right?
Yeah,
and this is a first world problem. It's not a complaint.
Which is why I wasn't going up there.
Yeah, no, it's way too high, way too high. But anyway, I wanted to make sure I got down to the court. So to get to the court, I've got to go through multiple concourses.
Like after the broadcast was over, you're saying?
After the broadcast was over, I've got to go through multiple concourses, a couple of escalators, weave my way through the media room, make my way down the stairwell, and get onto the court. And as I'm going down there, and I was actually really looking forward to this walk, it was just a sea of red, you know, like high-fiving, and, you know, pictures.
Right,
it was just, I was so happy for people. It was really, really, it was just a special night. I'm so happy for St. John's. The place was wild, dude.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
It was wild.
Friday night, I felt the same thing. I wish I could have went Saturday. Unfortunately, I couldn't do it. Now, do you think, I mentioned this last night on Sports Night, actually, on SNY, because we're talking about St. John's, of course, getting ready for the week. Do you think, because of that, like, St. John's been on such a run here at home. We know how dominant they've been. Obviously, the Big East tournament weren't all home games, but it's at their home, and it's predominant St. John's crowd. I know it's Providence, which is local, and St. John's fans will travel well, but do you think that there's going to be the way that this team plays, meaning that defense, that intensity, that energy, I feel like they're feeding off the crowd and at home. You think there's any, I hate to use the term letdown, but less of an uptick being in a neutral site?
I don't, because think about the way they won the games prior to the Big East tournament, where, you know, they were out at Marquette and they had, you know, on senior day where the Milwaukee Bucks play Pfizer Arena, Pfizer Forum, whatever it's called. And that was on the road, so they didn't have the home crowd propelling them. I know what you mean, but you listen, sometimes you do get some of these first and second round games. It could be fairly antiseptic, especially if it's early in the day, like those 12-18 tips or 12-37 tips where these buildings might not necessarily be sold out. I mean, the tickets will be sold, but everybody might not be in the house. I actually think it's the opposite. I think that St. John's has become such a, forget about locally, where they've just basically dominated the back page of every paper now for the last couple of weeks. I think that they're going to be in games, and I think that the fans who don't have a dog in the fight that are in these different venues starting in Providence and hopefully beyond, I think they're going to gravitate to St. John's style and try to lift them up a little bit.
I could see that. I just, man, the energy in the Garden. You could feel it and you could see the team. And then when they start going on one of those runs, party's over.
Party is over. What happened is, you know, once UConn lost, UConn fans are so savvy with the tickets because they're used to going to, you know, championship, Saturday night, Big East tournament, you know, deep runs, back-to-back national titles. UConn fans know how to get their hands on tickets no matter how, right? So once they lost the semi, I mean, they just dumped them on the secondary market. And St. John's fans, I figured it might be 70-30, maybe 75-25. It was 95 or 90%, 10%, 90% red.
And what did
Creighton's out in Omaha, so they're not coming in for one night.
What did you feel Friday? Because in the beginning, now I know Marquette started out very well, but I happened to be sitting, I guess, where the media seats were. It was the Marquette section, so maybe it was just louder.
By the band?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. It was baseline, but not the. It was the student section, I think, from Marquette.
I got you. I know where you were. Yep.
So early on, I was like, man, this is more balanced than I thought. But I think that was just a combination of where I was sitting plus Marquette playing well to start, because once the Johnnies turned it on, dude,
I know.
It was incredible how deafening that place was.
They're easy to love, man. It's really, again, I've said it a million times, the diehards welcome, you know, really, you deserve this. But the new fans that are jumping in, it's been a show. I mean, and it's led by an A-lister. Like, if this was Hollywood, Rick Pitino's an A-lister, man. Yeah. He's an A-lister, and he's the face of the program. Not that it wouldn't be enjoyable if it was still Mike Anderson or Lavin. It would not be the same. Pitino's presence and wit and glib nature, it's just elevated this a million times.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in Manhattan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Bear with me, my voice. I was at the game Saturday night. before I make my point, BT, did you happen to notice towards the end of the second half the two women getting in a brawl behind the basket?
I saw it on social media. I did not see it during the game.
I saw it on social media.
That's my friend John's wife.
Is she still in jail, or did she get out yet?
No. They actually moved the girl down to courtside. Anyway, I'm a St. John's grad, and I have two girls that go to Auburn, so I have the SEC perspective. I was dead wrong on Pitino. I didn't think it was going to work, but I'm happily.
Why didn't you think it was going to work? I'm just curious, Steve. That's interesting. Why didn't you think it was going to work? The guy's won everywhere he's been as a coach. What would make you think it's not going to work?
I'm glad I was wrong. I thought he got old, and I just thought it was played out. But I couldn't be more wrong. He's unbelievable. He's such a motivator. I think St. John's needs to make it to the Sweet 16. And, you know, they can't lose the first game. If they lose the second game to an SEC team or to Kansas, you know, so be it. But the Sweet 16 would be just an unbelievable capper on the year.
Would you say, BT, and thank you for the call, Steve, would you say the consensus you think would be Sweet 16?
I do.
I am a little surprised.
The realistic majority. Of course, you're going to get to, got to get to the Final Four. I think you take a large swath of St. John's fans, and if they're really, truly honest, you're encapsulating everything from the first game to now. You get to the Sweet 16. You got the Sweet 16 banner hanging in Carta Seca. It just kind of accelerates things. You know they're going to crush the portal. You think they got players last year.
I know. Wait till now.
Oh, my God. Wait till you see what they do now.
See, here's the thing. If they had, like, I think the expectation coming into the year regardless was NCAA tournament berth and probably a win in the first round anyway, right?
I think that's a pretty fair depiction of what most people were thinking.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. And probably like on the higher end, of course, at least get in and win the first round. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
But because of the way that they emerged and consistently dominated throughout and then finished, like if they would have lost in the Big East tournament, then I would be like, okay, no big deal, Big East tournament. Like it sucks you didn't win it, but now just go win a couple of tournament games. The way that the regular season went and the Big East tournament, I just coming from where they came from in year two with the no expectations, I get the fans will eventually get to where I would be at. And obviously, like, if they lost that first game, it's going to be a disaster. I just don't think they can be ripped for it because of the great regular season and tournament that they had so far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, rip is strong. No. I certainly not rip them. I got to tell you, I heard a lot, listened to the station a lot this weekend, even coming over from the games both nights. And a couple of callers jumped out. I don't even know names, where they were from. But it was a bit of a theme. And, you know, Mike Rapoli's very visible. You know, $4 million, I think, contribution to the NIL fund. St. John's has one of the higher funds in the country. But I think it's patently offensive. And this is a small group of people who say this, but patently offensive to label this team, and Rick addressed this, and I'm so happy he did, as just a product of money. You know, first of all, a couple of facts. Zuby was playing about 5 minutes a game, not averaging 5 points, playing about 5 minutes a game for Kansas. Rick said, this kid could help me, come here, turned him into a star.
Yeah, we could develop him.
Correct. R.J. Lewis had no major offers. He was at UMass. Rick said, I think this kid's going to be an NBA player. Big East Player of the Year, eventually he's going to be in the NBA, maybe this year, late first round, we'll see. And those two players are not making a lot of money relative to, you know, somebody like Kadari Richmond, who is, you know, starting to get into that million-dollar territory. Like, I kind of know, and I'm going to leave it at that, I know the neighborhood of what all these players are making, and I'm not going to divulge it, but I can promise you, outside of Kadari, who's very, very high, and he should be, the players that have had a lot, Aaron Scott, what do you think Aaron Scott's making? $1 million? He's not. But Rick identified him as a 3-and-D guy.
Even Rick's underpaid.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. He might be the most.
Yeah.
But you know who's really underpaid? The announcers. Let's go for what it is. I mean, but basically getting the same rate here for 10 years. Let's go. I'm not kidding. I'm not. I wish I was. The point is, I just think it's unfair. St. John's is not doing anything that other teams aren't doing. Other teams, I think, what about the oil money for some of the A&Ms and the Texases and all these schools? Where is that money coming from? How much of it's legit? All right, so just because St. John's has a front man in Rapoli who is visible and, you know, very out there in terms of, you know, doing interviews, and I love Mike, but, you know, some people say, oh, a little bit too much. Nonsense, dude. This is the way college basketball goes right now. These are the rules. You adhere to them. St. John's is better than most because they got Rick and they got money. Deal with it. It's about time.
I'm with you that I don't think this is a product of money and money alone. But even if it were, who cares?
That's true.
All
who
teams
cares?
Can do it. All right. We got into some, like, I know you like the start time Thursday night. What about the draw, the bracket? We'll get into that when we come back and continue the conversation with the calls as well. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Monday morning. St. Patrick's Day. As a matter of fact, Dunkin' Donuts brought in those. I'm assuming Dunkin' Donuts brought in all those donuts, right, that are out there?
I believe so, yes. Well, they are Dunkin' Donuts.
Have you? Right. So I'm assuming they brought them in for St. Patrick's Day, which is great. They look delicious. You got the green icing on them. You got the, what do you call them?
Those little bowls the with the sprinkles. Oh. I had 9 of them. I devoured. I don't know what I was doing. I had a lot.
I had a bad weekend as far as eating goes, so I couldn't. Like, they look delicious.
Yeah, they are.
I know if I have those, I'll be set off in a bed. So you had some, huh?
I had, I'm not kidding, about 8 or 9. Now, a few of them I just kind of nibbled around the sprinkles, and I left a little bit of the dough.
Yeah.
But damage was done.
The chocolate glaze looked great. The sprinkles look great. Hoff, you said you're down like 30 pounds or so, but you still helped yourself to some donuts out there?
I did. I could sneak one donut in. Okay.
Yeah, that's all one. And you didn't have a regular big donut, just the
I did the green one.
So you had a green one. Did you do your normal BT, like eat
nibble
the icing
around like the ice? Yeah. I mean with the pizza. Yeah, I'm a nibbler. It's weird.
All right, so give me the draw here. I was watching along, trying to figure out where you would be this week and where St. John's, obviously, who they'd be playing.
Yep,
they get the West region. They're in Providence. What'd you think of the draw overall for St. John's?
Okay, listen, I already kind of, you know, vented a little bit on the late start time, but listen, even other prominent pro like Duke has played late game, so you can't cry too much. I don't love it, but I don't mean for me. I mean for St. John's fans.
Did you know ahead of time, by the way?
I actually got a text from somebody that said they were 99%, and good, I'm happy I didn't tweet this, 99% playing at 7, the first game, and then that changed.
But that region and...
I kind of had a good sense. I didn't know who they were going to play, but I knew they... And I've been saying for a while, I got some confirmation on it. Right. Yeah, and I thought they'd be a 2, that was largely in play. Again, if I ran a network, I'm not burying New York market at what's going to be a 10-10 tip, but okay, so I'm not going to yell about that all day. In terms of the opponent... Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know anything about them outside of the very basic work I've done already for the broadcast. They can shoot. They've got a couple of they're very veteran laden. They don't have a lot of young kids. I believe all five are seniors. Omaha. They've got three. Their front car. Everybody's basically 6'8", 6'9". So we'll see. I mean, listen. St. John's is 18.5-point favorites right now. So you're supposed to mop the floor with them, but you never know. Now pushing this forward, here's what I don't love. I think they got not enough to go nuts. Okay, so the Big East was a little down this year. But I think that St. John's could have been slotted maybe in a better two spot. And if they would have had that, you could have avoided Florida in a potential regional final. And I think Florida is the best team right now. Florida's very, very close.
So the draw, no issues with Calipari, second round potential?
Nah, okay. I mean, listen.
I love that matchup.
It's going to be spicy. They go back, back in the day. We've seen documentaries on that. Funny where, Vice is doing the Patino thing, also the Calipari thing. That could work out where, that's weird. But even Norm Roberts, who was an assistant at Kansas, used to coach St. John's. That's not a huge storyline, but it's interesting to me.
All right, so either way, it would be Norm Roberts or Calipari?
But obviously Bill Self is a great coach, the head coach at Kansas. But they've been down this year. They've been very disappointing. A.J. Storr, former St. John's player, he got a ton of money, I think over $1 million. He's done nothing there. So it's interesting, and I think that they'd be favored in both games, whether it's Arkansas or Kansas. But I do think that the Florida potential regional final is unfair. And St. John's, I really believe, should have been placed in Newark. That's my biggest gripe. Where they're in, and I know that this can feel like, wow.
Would it have been too much an advantage, or you think that they earned that?
I think they earned it. That's what I mean.
Right.
Like, they're going to, if they get to the Sweet 16, they're going all the way out to the West Coast, San Francisco. And again, it'll be a fun trip. And it'll be cool, but I thought they did enough. They've lost once in the year 2025. They've got the best defense, literally, in provable statistics in the country. They got the player of the year. They got the coach of the year. I really thought they should have had a chance to play in Newark, but they didn't get that. That's my only pushback.
And I wonder if, how they factor that, though. Because, all right, St. John's, were they the fourth two seed,
Yes.
Okay, they were, right. So they were borderline 2-3. They were the
fourth. Were they third or four? Hold on, Sal. Third, I believe. I've got to double check.
Okay,
I've got somebody. I think it was four or three. Definitely not two.
But my point is you have the four number ones and then let's just say three number twos that they got to say, okay, well, these teams are better and potentially they've earned this region or whatever. I don't know how you appease everybody.
You don't. And that's fine. That's why I'm not going to go nuts. But you don't appease everybody. Who you do appease, and this is the fundamental flaw here, the hell's Carolina doing in this thing? I mean,
I saw them complaining about that yesterday.
And again, I do think Jay Billis said something pretty interesting last night.
You have Indiana in instead of Carolina?
I probably would have, yes, to answer that directly. But I think Billis said, people, because I get it, a lot of people jump in now. And not everybody's wrapped up in the night-to-night college hoops. I get it. You hockey fans, you Knicks fans, and we'll get to the Knicks later. I got to get something off my chest about the Knicks from Saturday night.
I think the majority of people are not watching.
I agree with you.
Nobody's John Rothstein here.
No, not even me. And I do the games.
Well, that's
I'm
my
with
point.
You.
So even you, who's into it, you do the Big East. You do obviously who St. John's opponents are. You don't watch anything else, but
dude, if Maryland's playing Georgia Tech, I'm watching the Knicks.
It's
wife.
It's impossible to watch 64 teams or whatever, 68 teams.
I don't have any interest. Yeah. I don't have the bandwidth, right?
Me neither.
But the point is that, and this is what Jay said, we spend a lot of energy, and we're not doing it, just kind of pointing out a few things that aren't really equitable right now. But people spend a lot, who don't know a lot about it, and that's fine. They complain about who got, the one team that got hosed or the one team that's misseeded. This is a very tough thing to put together. I do admit that. So I'm not going to go nuts with some of the things that they got wrong, but you cannot have, this is what you can't have. You can't have the athletic director for North Carolina, who by every metric don't deserve to be in the field, and then they say, well, I'm going to recuse myself, I'm going to leave the room while they discuss North Carolina's resume, and then he walks back in. Oh, yeah, you made the tournament. Mm-hmm. It's just a joke, man. And they always serve the Blue Bloods, the Big East, like last year with St. John's and Seton Hall and even Providence. The Big East always gets screwed because of the contract money with football. It's not, I just got to vent. It's really, there are some things that are unfair, but the bottom line is that St. John's got a chance to do some real damage.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Chris is in East Hanover. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Big fans of the show. I'm calling in, though. I've been listening to Fan for years. And that's exactly what I wanted to call about. I'm a huge New York sports fan. I follow them all, the Johnnies, everybody, Rutgers. you know, when it comes to local guys and root for them all. I think it's great. I'm a big Patino fan. But that was one of my things. I got another 2 points. But one of them was that, you know, me and my buddy were saying how screwed they got because they put them in the West. Like, give these guys a chance to go to Newark. Give the hometown fans, the Queens fans, a chance to come watch their guys. You know, it just felt like, you know, there's those things that they should have just, you know, been able to do. They had a great year, and they stick them over in the West, you know?
Yeah.
And then secondarily, I'll get your point on that because I know I just heard it, but
yeah.
I'm also a North Carolina fan. I grew up watching them. You know, I think the quad system is horrible. And I think maybe for once, because Texas shouldn't have been in either, that they actually looked at resumes. Because if you look at North Carolina's resume, they lost to Auburn by 2. They, you know, they took Duke down to the wire twice out of 3 games. You know, yes, they lost to Stanford. I get it. Quad 3 loss. It's terrible. Mm. But at the end of the day, you know, maybe the quad system is something we just got to get rid of.
Well, they're 1-12 you know, in quad 1 games, I believe, is the number on North Carolina. Yeah. Listen, there's so many data points. It's confusing. And I learned my lesson last year. Like, I really leaned on net ranking, and that's why I felt pretty good about St. John's getting in last year. And then I think a lot of people were betrayed by that, including even Seton Hall, as I said before. Like, the Big East got disrespected a little bit. I do think, to be fair to the conversation and just not, you know, make all the world's out to get St. John's, which obviously is not the case. If anything, I think a lot of people trying to lift up St. John's. Yeah. You know, Jay Wright picked them to go to the Final Four yesterday, last night on CBS. I think there are a lot of teams and a lot of radio stations today saying, why is my team there? Why, you know, why is my team this seed? Why is my team in this regional? Like, there's just, it's hard to do this with so many teams, but I do think, I do think they should have been in Newark.
And I think the biggest bone to pick from the fans' point of view is that they wanted to go and make it easy for them to go if they were in Newark. I think that's the problem. So I don't think the tournament looked to screw St. John's. It's just that you're ticked off as a fan. By the way, me too. Like, oh, cool, St. John's playing in the NCAA tournament, and it's right down the block at the Prudential Center. It'd be easy to go. But I mean, it's not going to happen. I don't think it was anything to screw St. John's over. Mike is calling from Avon, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking the call. Big UConn fan, alum, want to shout out the Johnnies. I actually went to that game up at Gamble and Storrs where it was a complete reversal, where St. John just came back and beat them up. But my analogy with their defense, it's so good, they're so big, they're so strong, they're so athletic, so mature, that it's like a 12U team playing in a 10U league. You just know at some point their 12-year-olds playing against 10-year-olds, they're just going to beat them. I mean, UConn's had some great athletes over the years. They blew them away this year in terms of athleticism. Forget the skill, just the athletes and how big and strong was remarkable to kind of see.
The only other thing I was going to say before my portal comment
is that the Big East is very physical, as we know. So the only thing I'd be worried about for any of the Big East teams, but especially St. John's, who's so strong and such a great defensive team, is how tight they ref it, right? Like, once you get into the NCAA tournament, they don't let them play as much as the Big East. So do you get where, you know, Lewis has got 3 fouls or Zuby's got 3 fouls?
Well, don't you think, Mike, and thank you for the call, that Coach Pitino knows that better than you do or anybody else? I would assume, I'm not trying to, you know, minimize the call, Mike. I'm just saying, like, I would assume if Coach Pitino feels like the refs are going to tighten things up and he knows his team's skill set, he's going to be prepared accordingly.
I would agree. I also think it's overstating it a little bit when we say the Big East is very physical. The Big East used to be very physical. I think St. John's is incredibly physical. I don't look at Marquette as a physical team. I think they're finesse. I don't look at Creighton as Cork Brenner doesn't have a muscle on him. He's 7'1". He weighs about 190 pounds. I'm being facetious, but, you know, he's a finesse guy. He's a skill guy. So I don't look at, and they're well coached, and Creighton's good. They're not a strong, tough team. I think that the other thing, too, now the whistle pertaining to St. John's very well might impact how they do and how far they go. But keep in mind, you know, Villanova and UConn, 4 of the last 8 champions from the conference, you know, they haven't been adversely affected. Now, they weren't as physical as St. John. They may have been more skilled in certain areas, for sure. I just think the bottom line is it comes down to a matchup thing. Do you hit some free throws? Yeah, how they whistle the game is important. But if St. John's is locked in, I mean, they should dismantle this team on Thursday, and they should feel pretty good about what happened Saturday and keep it going.
We'll continue the conversation with St. John's when we come back, 888-808-1019. Also get into the Giants quarterback situation and the Yankees rotation. We have an update as it pertains to that as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming
over. Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.